Thank you, Jesus. Can you fire up that PowerPoint, please? Right. Hello, pal. Ooh, do you want to have the mic? You want to have a little chat? Bless him. Oh, I'm going to give him a cuddle. What a lovely boy. Thank you, Jesus. Right. I believe that as a church, you know what, we are in a new season now. We have started a transition, a journey, if you will, between one part of the destination of the church and what will be a new destination for the church. And what I'm going to speak to you today about is a renewal in three different areas that Rob and I believe are key for this church. And, you know, Rob started talking about this from Psalm 85, where he spoke about God reviving us again. And I just want to honor Rob. You know, this man is a real praying man. He is a listening man. You know, we've been listening together and hearing stuff from God that is just really exciting, but a real challenge as well. Something that will require us to wake up to once again see our passion restored. You know, one of the things that we were praying about on Thursday, and one thing that came out was that, you know, I believe that the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. You believe that? And one of the things that I believe he's stolen is our passion. Our get up and go. Our get up and go has got up and gone. And I want to see it restored. I want to see it redeemed. I want to see it refreshed and revived. Because I believe that each one of us has a passion. I don't know where it is for you. It might be in a particular area. Maybe evangelism. Maybe in teaching. Maybe in ministering to the poor. Whatever area it is in, really, that's not important. What's important is that you are passionate about it and have an opportunity to see it outworked in your life. Amen. So today I want to speak about renewal in three areas. The first area I believe God wants to see us renewed in is our personal relationship with Him. You know, the Bible says that out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. But you know what? If there's no source that as a river we're connected to, we will soon become dry and empty and barren, like a riverbed that is totally dry. We need to stay connected to the source. It sounds obvious, doesn't it? But you know what? Everything in the Christian life flows out of our relationship with God. Everything. And if we will not dedicate ourselves to stay connected to the source, we're going to get into massive problems in our Christian life. So that's the first area of renewal. The second is renewal in community. You know, I believe God wants to see us restored as a community of believers, having good and fruitful relationships with one another, not in offense with one another or schism amongst one another, but in unity, unity of faith, unity of purpose, unity of heart and mind, and loving one another genuinely the way that God loves us. And the third area that God's been speaking about a renewal in is in mission. And I'm going to take each one of these parts individually. So firstly, as I just said, we need to stay connected to God. And in that place, that is where a renewal happens in our personal relationship with Him. And, you know, oftentimes we make our quiet time a tick box experience, don't we? We have our, you know, 15-minute dedication. We read our, you know, word for today or whatever it is that's your dedication. And we think that that is our relationship with God. You know what? It's not. That's where you might find out something new about God. But you know what? The devil knows all about God. He just has no relationship with Him. There are a lot of people in this world that know about the taste of an apple, but they tell you what, unless you bite into it, you'll never know what it's like for yourself. And we need to be tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. We need to be daily encountering God in our prayer life. And understanding also that, you know, it's not just a tick box experience. God doesn't want to just speak to you in that 15 minutes that you devote to him. He wants your antenna to be up. He wants you to develop sensitivity in the spirit so that you can perceive what he's saying to you. So that when you pass that stranger, you might have an inkling from God of what that stranger needs from him. You know, I'm constantly amazed by the associate pastor we had in our last church. She lived this daily. She would often share testimonies of how she was walking down the street and God would speak to her about a person and she would encounter that person, speak to them and bring them into relationship with God. And I was like, wow, relationship with God can be like that. You know, I want to tell you, yes, it can be. Because we're all sensitive in areas. You might be sensitive to what the Liverpool score is. You might be sensitive to the league table of the Premiership. You know, but I'm saying to you, you need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because it's only when you are sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying that you can have a renewal that will bring out passion, that will bring out the gifts that God has invested on the inside of you to use, not for your benefit, but for the benefit of the mission field that God has placed us in. Amen. Another thing about personal awakening, renewal, is this. God spoke to me about this. He says that we grow personally when we engage in prayer and encouragement with others. You know, your relationship, your personal relationship with God is as a member of a body. You are not meant to do this walk on your own. But we do, we try, don't we? We isolate ourselves, especially when there's issues of shame. We fear judgment. And all the while, we don't recognize that we grow and develop spiritually. We're encouraged when we're in communion with other people, when we allow them to become our confidence, and that camaraderie and that friendship and that accountability develops. If you isolate yourself, the words of God says that you rage against wise judgment. No man is an island. That's not in the Bible. But it's a true saying. It's a true saying. And, you know, as a body of believers, how you are in your relationship with God affects how I am. Because we're connected. We're connected as members of the body. If you're hurting, then I'm hurting too. If you're rejoicing, then I'm rejoicing too. You know, part of our calling as Christians and as brothers and sisters is that we weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And the stronger members come alongside the weaker members and uphold them, support them. Each part of the body supplying that which it was meant to supply. So we need to recognize that it's together with others that we also grow and develop and become renewed in our personal relationship with God. Do you want to know what the signs are of whether you need a renewal in your personal relationship with God are? There are many, but I'm going to bring out a few. If your heart wants to speak more of judgment than it does of restoration, you need a personal renewal. If your heart wants to separate instead of include, you need a personal renewal. Otherwise, you'll be just like those that cross over the road in that parable of the Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. You know, one of the most damaging and misinterpreted words that's ever been given in church that I've heard, not in this one necessarily, but others, that I've heard over the years, and you've probably heard it a million times, is this. Come out from among them and be separate. Do you know what I want to tell you categorically? That is not the heart of Jesus Christ. How can you be salt and light to those in the darkness if you separate yourself fearing being polluted? If you're more bothered about the way that you are affected by the world instead of the effect that you can be upon the world, then you need a personal renewal in your relationship with God. Because we're called to be salt and we're called to be light in a dark place. And the darkness will not overcome the light. So long as there's a light burning on the inside of you, you will overcome that darkness. You have nothing to fear. And you know, if you want to be more like Jesus, then you need to associate with those that Jesus associated with. The tax collectors and the sinners. Those that were humble and those that were disenchanted. Those that were disenfranchised from society. The lowly and the meek. That's the Jesus that I serve. The Jesus who went to the woman caught in the act of adultery. The one who was holy, who could have picked up that stone because he had no sin, chose instead to forgive. Wow. Chose instead to forgive. Instead of casting judgment, he wanted restoration in that woman's life. And I tell you, if your heart wants judgment instead of restoration, repent. You have lost the heart of God, if that's you. Because his heart is for restoration. You know, we've been given a ministry of reconciliation, not a ministry of condemnation. If when people come around you, they sense that they're going to be judged and condemned, you are not operating in the spirit of Christ, my brothers and sisters. You have been seduced by the spirit of religion, just like the Pharisees were. Let us not become whitewashed tombs, broods of vipers, biting, devouring those that God has sent us to see restored and reconciled and redeemed. If we're like that, we need a personal renewal. We need a renewal in our relationship with God. If we're critical observers instead of active participants in the life of God within the body of Christ, we need a personal renewal. If our lives are marked by apathy, instead of moved with compassion, we need a personal renewal. I think we all need a personal renewal. I think we all need to be touched once again by that love that can work in and through us to the world that needs to know that they have been reconciled to our God. You know, one of the things that strikes me about the gospel is one of my favorite parts, that when God was resurrected, when Jesus came out of the tomb, the first words that he said, peace be with you. Peace be unto you. He could have said, now you're going to pay. Thought you could keep me in that grave, did you? You know what? If I was God, I'd have gone up to Pilate and I'd have gone, nah, 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 nah. I'd have gone to Caiaphas and said, now you're getting it. But he didn't. Isn't that amazing? The first words he said were, peace be unto you. Why? Because he had made reconciliation possible. Everything that was against you, he took away. Everything. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we need to be daily encountering. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says this. And this is about Peter and John. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." You ask Liz, I'm a much nicer person when I've been with Jesus. I'm actually really quite likable when I've been with Jesus. And I'm a miserable so-and-so when I haven't been. I'm ratty and irritable when I've not been with Jesus. I'm still a work in progress. God's working with me and in me. But you know what? When you commune with him, when you sit at his feet, not with an agenda, not with a prayer list a mile long, but just to be, you change. You come out different from your prayer closet. You do. Come on, hands up if you've experienced that. You know what I'm talking about. And yet I don't know why we do this though. We know that, and yet we still try and do everything on our own, don't we? We still try and do our job on our own, not recognizing, hey, you know what? He's with us in that workplace. We try and do our exams on our own, not realizing, youth, that he's there with you in your revision. They had perceived that they had been with Jesus. The main passage I want to talk out of today is in John 15, if you want to turn there. Because this talks about that connection with God. From verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." He's the vine. We were grafted in, and we can stay in it. It's our choice. It's an invitation. God says abide, not visit. You know what? There's a massive difference between visiting God and abiding with him. You know, and oftentimes, again, we make our daily devotional a visiting time rather than a recognition of the constant, minute by minute, abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. As I said, you know what? You aren't going to win the world in that 15 minutes in your prayer closet. You're going to win the world after you've been in that 15 minutes and stay sensitive the rest of the day so that you can impact those that you come into contact with, so that you can be salt and light in their lives. Don't visit. Abide. We need a renewal in our relationship with the Lord. The next area then, renewal and community. You know, we're part of the body of Christ. You need that body, and that body needs you. You know, as individuals, we are incomplete in and of ourselves. Do you know that? "It is not good for man to be alone," said God. And he made him a helper. Took out of him something that was part of him to become someone that walked alongside him. Equal in every way. And that's a wonderful picture of the body of Christ. That God took something out of himself, called it his body, and made it connected with each other, with him as the head. You know, I need you. You know, I might be an eye. But I'm not an eye, a nose, a mouth, an arm, a leg, and feet. I need you. I need you as members of this body to fulfill the part that God has given you to play in this body. I don't know what you are. You might be an arm. And I might look at something as the eye, but I can't do anything about it unless you as the arm get stretch out and take hold of it. So we need to recognize that in and of ourselves, we are incomplete without each other. And when we're able to relate to God correctly and assume our values and identity from Him, that's when we can truly relate to one another in a healthy, non-competitive way. That's really important. And develop healthy bonds that seek to bring wholeness to one another and in our expression of Christ to the world. You know, a body would look really weird, wouldn't it? If one arm wanted to do one thing whilst the other arm was wanting to do another. Or if one leg wanted to go this way while the other leg was going that way. It would look pretty freaky walking down the road like that, wouldn't it? The body's meant to work in unity. Each part flowing, supplying life, impacting other parts. You know, when I stretch out my arm, there are, I don't know how many muscles are working there right now, but there are loads working together in union in response to the brain signals that my head is sending. You know, the spiritual analogy is this, that is, if Jesus is our head, and I believe that He is, then He's going to be sending signals to this arm. And it needs all of those muscles to be doing the same thing, to be walking in the same direction, with the same goal, with the same aim, in order to be able to fulfill that thing that God wants it to do, that the head wants it to do. You know, we all have unique callings and giftings. They may be in similar areas. But I believe that each calling and gifting that each one of us have is totally unique. I've said this before. You have a DNA blend. You have a gift blend. Something that is given by God just for you. I can't do what you're meant to do. You can't do what I'm meant to do. So competition, therefore, is eradicated because we're all wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made in a unique way. And we're meant to complement each other instead of compete with each other. And if I'm the eye, that doesn't mean that I'm more important than any other part of the body. In fact, the bits that aren't seen in a body are probably even more important than the bits that are seen. Where would we be without a heart? Where would we be without a liver or without kidneys or without a stomach? Might be a little thinner without this stomach, but hey. 1 Corinthians 12, turn to it. Read about the body with me. Look at how it's meant to function. And then tell me whether we need a renewal in community. Because I believe that we do. Verse 12, for as the body is one, and as many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It's really important. You might think that your part of the body is a, you know, it's just not an important one. You know, I want to tell you it is. It is. It so is. There's no part of the body that is not important for the thing to function the way that it's meant to. So don't go belittling that which God has put on the inside of you. Recognize it and offer it. Offer it in service to God. Offer it in service to one another, motivated by compassion and love. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. You get the idea, don't you? I need you. You need me. We need each other. Let's not forget that. And let that be at the forefront of our minds and hearts when we come into conflict. Because we will. There'll be times where we irritate each other. As I said the last time I spoke, if I haven't irritated you or offended you, there's plenty of time yet. You know, it'll probably come at some stage. And I need you to forgive me just like I'm willing to forgive you. And if we can operate in mutual love and forgiveness, that's part of what makes the body work. Recognizing, man, that we have false expectations everywhere. You know, just because I now get paid by the church doesn't mean that I'm meant to do everything in the church. Again, if I'm an eye, I'm not a hand. I can't do what the hand's meant to do. Even if I'm paid. You know, Rob's paid. That doesn't mean that he becomes the whole of the body. He can't be, because he's not meant to be. He's meant to be the part that God has made him to be, and that only. But I tell you what, we have such false expectations, don't we? You know, we've had it of ourselves, haven't we, Rob? We've come into this role, it's all brand new. You know, I said in Knock the other week that at the moment, I'm a lousy families pastor. Because I've never done it before. I've never had any experience of this thing before, and I'm learning as I undertake to do what God, I believe, has called me to do. When Dave first started pastoring, chances are, he was a lousy pastor as well. We love our Dave. But you see, you don't start something being an absolute expert in it. You develop like you do everything else with practice, with purpose. You learn things on the journey, don't you? And after you've learned, oftentimes through making mistakes, you're able to build in something that is able to work the way that it was meant to. But we have these false expectations, as if we're all meant to be perfect if you get paid by the church. Man, don't put that on me, because I'm not. I'm just not. I know you aren't. So don't be thinking that I am for some reason. You know, we're all learning in our journeying with God. So let's have a bit of grace, eh? Let's be gracious to one another. The other thing I want to say about community is this. You know what? It takes time to build community. It's impossible to know 300 odd people really well, okay? It just is. I don't know anybody that's managed to do that. You know, I want to get to know you all. But chances are, I'll get to know some people better than others. Rob would like to get to know you all. But chances are, he'll know some people better than others. And you know what? That's okay. Because if we're all connecting to each other, if we're all getting to know some people really well, coming alongside, encouraging, building one another, we can still be that wonderful knit community in unity and in love. God, my heart bursts for that to take place. To have a genuine, genuine love for one another. And not be afraid to share what needs that we have one with another. You know, if there's any gardeners here, man, I want to speak to you. Because my garden is lousy. I'm a rubbish gardener. I need help. You ask Liz. And chances are, you know what? You need any laminate floor laying, come and see me. I'm great at laminate floor. I've done tons of them. Okay? Wouldn't it be ace if we were just explicit and open with our needs in a spirit of love, without judgment, without fear, what a community we would be. We need a renewal of community. It takes time to build community. And it takes time to build momentum. And it takes time to build fruit, to bear fruit. I'm going to skip over that. Renewal in mission. The Great Commission is still our mission. You know what? God's mission hasn't changed. The way that we express that, the methods that we use, man, they have to change. You know, the world is different now than it was even 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I logged on to a 486 Intel PC at work. I had Word 3.1, and, you know, printing in color was stupidly expensive. Now, I can just pick up my phone and print to a device straight away. Technology has just moved on massively. The way that we communicate has moved on massively. You know, the world has changed. And our methods have to be effective for the people out there in society that we want to reach. And you know what? I don't have all the answers for that, but I'm absolutely convinced that as a body, there's a mind in there somewhere. There's ideas in there somewhere. There's inspiration in there somewhere that can come out and hear from the Lord how we're to reach the next generation of people. You know, part of me, I don't know, I'm deceived in this area. So part of me thinks that I'm still hip and cool. You know what? I'm not. I sit with these guys over there, the youth, and I realize, man, just how unhip and uncool I am. And you know what? Anita, I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that. I'm a different generation. So I've got to learn, how do I best connect with people of a different generation? Because there are millions of them out there that need to know Christ. So how do we as a body connect with that generation? How do we connect with people of a different culture? Instead of us judging the Muslims, how do we reach them? Instead of us blaming the Muslims, how do we reach them? You know what? We all need wisdom for this type of stuff, don't we? We need the answers from God to emerge. Because there's not one person on this planet that I believe is too far gone that can't be reached by Jesus. If he can reach Paul, who was killing Christians, then he can reach a terrorist that's currently set his heart on bombing. I fundamentally believe that. But we need the keys, don't we? We need the keys to be able to unlock what it is that they need to hear to persuade their hearts that they need Jesus. And we need that same renewal in our mission. Go ye, make disciples. It's still the call. It's still the passion of God. Never once did I hear him say, go ye and gather everybody and get them into a building and lock the doors on a Sunday morning. That's not his mission. It's always been a go ye. Get up and go. Just like the father got up, saw the son, went, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. You know what? That's the same heart that we need. If we're not prepared to get up and go, then who are going to be the people that are sent with the good news? Who's going to take the good news out there? We need a renewal in mission. You know, don't isolate yourself from the world. Be salt and light to it. You know, there's no point being a bright light in a bright place. There really isn't, is there? If we've got all the lights on here and you add your candle to it, makes no difference whatsoever. But you take your candle to a dark place, that makes a vast difference. You see, we've become obsessed with being lights in a light place. Instead of recognizing that our mission is our workplace. It's our golf club. You know, it's our social club. It's our neighbors on our street, in our communities. That's where we're supposed to be light. That's where we're meant to be salt. Not in here. In here, we're supposed to be family. Out there, we're supposed to be salt and light. We need a renewal in mission. Jesus didn't separate himself from our sin. He embraced it, embraced us in our sin, took it upon himself on the cross, forgave it in his death, and proclaimed peace with God in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Ooh, I want to be a reconciler as well. I want to preach that same message. You know what I want to do? Jesus embraced you, prostitute. He embraced you. He took your sin upon himself and forgave it in the cross and proclaimed peace. Come on. We're ambassadors called to that mission. What is our mission if it isn't to win the world? What is our mission if it isn't to announce the good news of the presence of his kingdom and proclaim that same reconciliation? You know, that's what I believe it is. So don't sit on your part of this. Don't sit on it. Don't tell me that you've got no part to play in this, because you have. You know what? And I will work with you and alongside you to help you find it. But I can't do your bit, and I will never do your bit, ever. You have to do it. So wake up. Find your mojo and passion again. Find what thrills you inside of the things of God and put them to use in his service. Because that's what's going to make a massive difference. Find your get up and go. Wherever it went, get up and find it. And be fruitful in the calling that God has given you. I'm going to finish with two phrases now. One that Dr. Dave wrote. This was on the old website. Ecclesia reformata semper reformanda secundum verbum Dei. I'll read what he wrote. This was a phrase introduced by the early Protestant reformers. It means the church reformed and always reforming by the word of God. The Reformed Church believed that their doctrine was complete and that it was only the lives of the believers that needed constant transformation. Its use here at Kingsway Christian Fellowship indicates our belief that both people and doctrine need constant reform as new light shines forth from God's word. You know what? We need a renewal in insight and revelation. Don't we? We need a renewal in it. Church isn't just about us. It's not. God made it for them. We need a renewal in mission, in revelation, in insight. And the final phrase I'll share is one from a friend, Stephen Crosby. It says this: it's a waste of time to talk about biblical fidelity or being a New Testament church when those in attendance come to be entertained by great music and great public speaking, instead of being active participants in a comprehensive experience of the body and life of Christ in human vessels. You know what? That worship band, as good as it is, you know, they're not there for our entertainment. They're there to help us be renewed in our passion for worship and in our ability to express our hearts and our love to God. If you're offended because they don't sing the songs that you like, you need a renewal in revelation. Hallelujah. So you know what I want to do now? I'd like you all to stand, please. Now, oftentimes we would say, if you feel that that's spoken to you and you need a renewal, come to the front. But I'm not going to do that, because I believe that each one of us needs that. And I believe that the person standing next to you right now is the person that you can pray with and that can pray with you to ask God to be revived and renewed in whatever areas of your life you need that renewal in. So that's what I want you to do. Gather next to the person that's on your left or on your right. Maybe do it in threes. Be creative. And pray and ask God, revive me, God. Renew me in relationship, in community, and in mission. Go, do that. Thank you, Jesus.
Change things and you will change things.